I want to tell you a story about a guy named Gideon. He'd never led anyone anywhere. He definitely never led troops into battle before. But history recorded his pre-game pep talk. Gentlemen, before we battle, you need to know there are about 32,000 of us. And a few hand claps here and there. That's pretty good. But there are more of them. In fact, we stopped counting them. It would be like counting sand on the seashore. So that's the bad news. Now for the worst news. God told me there are still way too many of us. So we're going to thin out the ranks. If you're afraid you're going to march into battle and not march out, well, you can go home. 22,000 of them left. Now they only had 10,000 left. And God tapped General Gideon on the shoulder. Do you still too many? God, I didn't major in math, but I'm pretty sure we're outmanned and outgunned here. How do you want me to thin out the ranks this time? You want me to take them to the brook and watch how they drink water? Okay. So he marched his reduced troops to the brook and watched them drink water. Only 300 of them cupped the water in their hands so they could still be aware of what was around them and who was coming after them. Only 300 passed the test. 9,700 failed. And God and Gideon sent 9,700 home. That left Israel with a formidable fighting force of 300 against a ruthless, merciless enemy, too many to be counted. Now that would have been a good time to say, okay, fellas, if you're afraid, you can go home. But thankfully, God was finished dishonorably discharging the troops. Now it was time for war. Gideon marched his miniature army to the armory for weapons. That's when Gideon had more interesting news. He started handing out water pitchers and trumpets as weapons. A few soldiers thought Gideon could have spent a little more time in the situation room and a little less time in the sun. Once they saw that this was an unwinnable war, would they even fight it? Could they even win it? Well, stay tuned to find out. You're listening to LJ Harry, and you're listening to Keep Calm and Answer Softly on Simplify. Just before midnight, the micro army assembled outside enemy lines, and on Gideon's signal, they blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers, and shouted their war cry. And when they did, God sent the enemy into a panic. They were so confused, they drew their swords and turned on each other. So many of them died of friendly fire. Others ran for their lives from a fistful of people with pitchers and trumpets. Gideon drafted troops from other tribes to join in and finish off the enemy, and they did. They even took out a couple kings, Oreb and Zeb. And yes, they were more intimidating than their names. The number 337th ranked team just routed the number one team. It had never been done before. High fives and fist bumps from almost everyone everywhere. But there was one grumpy tribe, the tribe of Ephraim. They were standing on Gideon's welcome mat with their arms crossed, their swords still hanging from their sides. Gideon opened the door and tried to laugh it off. Not bad, huh? For 300 guys with torches and trumpets, right? But the Ephraimites were not laughing. They wanted to know why they weren't invited earlier. Scripture says they argued heatedly with Gideon. Now here's where a guy who hadn't even led a kid's choir in a chorus of Father Abraham show us how to respond when our blood starts to boil. Gideon could have fired back. Excuse me? I don't know who you think you're talking to, but God called me, not you. You boys better watch your tone and watch your back. Gideon may have had the right, but it would have been all-out civil war between him and his brothers. So rather than just defend his right to be right, Gideon's response is amazing. He responded, "Wait a minute, guys. What have I accomplished compared to you? Aren't even the leftover grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abiezer? God gave you victory over Oreb and Zeb, the commanders of the Midianite army. What have I accomplished compared to that?" Now, I'm not sure what leftover grapes and harvests have to do with the war, but when Gideon was faced with the choice to answer their harsh question harshly or softly, Gideon chose to answer softly. And a beautiful phrase is recorded in Judges chapter 8, verse 3. "Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that." Gideon diffused their explosive anger simply by giving a soft answer. Now, the calendar has changed 3,000 years, but people have it. And we read another wise man's wise words in Proverbs 15 that tell us a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. Gideon's example and Solomon's wise words are just as relevant for us today as they were for them then. A soft answer still turns away wrath, but harsh words still stir up anger. Just as sure as January is colder than July, well, at least in Ohio. Somebody at your house or work or on campus or on the phone or online, certainly online, this week is going to say something or type or text something harsh to or about you or about your family. And you are going to respond. People you lead, people who lead you, people who love you, they're going to say something harsh because people are people. And what they say may be sarcastic or accusatory or inflammatory. It may even be a misunderstanding, especially if it's typed or texted. The words whatever or fine can mean so many different things in a text message. And who even knows what K means? In those moments, we have a choice. We have a choice how we will answer their harsh question. I hope you and I will both follow Gideon's example and heed Solomon's wise words, that a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. In those moments, take a deep breath, pray a silent prayer, take a sip of coffee. Don't fire back. Don't give them a piece of your mind. Don't put them in their place. Just keep calm and answer softly. We're going to need prayer for this one, especially for this one. So would you join me right now and ask the Lord to help you? Ask the Lord to fill you so full of His Holy Spirit that He helps you in those moments to keep calm and answer softly. Jesus, I thank You for Your goodness. I thank You especially for Your Spirit. We need Your Spirit in every moment like these moments. God, I pray You would help us each day as we walk with You and draw closer to You. Help us to keep calm. Help us to answer softly. Help us to remember these words, that a soft answer turns away wrath. I pray, God, that You would help us to have the temperance, the self-control, the control by Your Spirit, to respond in a way that is kind, in a way that is meek and humble, and to answer softly when people question us or accuse us harshly. I thank You today for Your goodness. We definitely need Your help. And I ask You to help every one of us to do our very best this week to be more like You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Simplify. Thank you especially for making Simplify a part of your devotional life and your walk with God. So thanks so much for all of you for listening, for sharing, for telling others about Simplify. Thank you for those who are also following along in the devotional Simplify. That's what got this podcast launched in the first place. It's a 52-week devotional I wrote a couple of years ago to help us to walk closer with the Lord. If you would like to purchase that devotional, you can. It's at PentecostalPublishing.com. You can also purchase it at Amazon. You can get that on Kindle. You can also get that in good old-fashioned book form, so you don't even have to charge the batteries for that. Next week, I want to finish this little two-part series called Keep Calm and Answer Softly with, appropriately titled, Keep Calm and Answer Softly, Part 2. I'm looking forward to that, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.